This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hog bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhart, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevrolet. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevrolet, and the two goalies go at it head to head, and Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon to Hall, looking for 500. He shoots, he scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores!
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Thursday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in my partners in crime. Back in studio, the University of McKendree Hockey Bearcats coaching staff, Coach Henson and Coach Butter. What's going on, fellas?
Good morning.
You're back.
I'm back. I had to take a
Is it a hiatus?
Or sabbatical.
You know, I got to tell you, Butter was by himself in here 1 week, and mm-hmm. He did a great job.
Well, he spoke. Well, that's unusual.
Is he nervous around you or
nervous around me?
I don't know.
No,
there's just no time around.
He's just right.
A shot.
Butter
across
understands.
The bow.
Butter understands.
Butter does understand.
That
well,
I talk.
You guys come back on a good Thursday morning after a really nice overtime winner last night. Schwartzy says, "Jump on, boys, huh?"
Yeah, I carried the load last night, right?
I thought they played well, except for the first 10 minutes of the hockey game. I mean, first 10 minutes was rough, but I thought the rest of the game they played fairly well.
They were good in the second and third.
Yeah.
First period was terrible.
I only got to see the third and the overtime. So
you saw everything you needed to see?
Yeah.
We had really a – I mean, we're going to go back and forth on the play by Pietrangelo.
What's there to go back and forth about?
We've seen defensemen do that a thousand times, rip it high and up the center like that. But I'm just telling you.
The only time you're going to see that ripped up the middle is when they're covering the weak side rim, and there was no coverage of the weak side rim.
He just had
a brain fart.
Well, I agree. I'm just saying that it happens all the time, and nobody says anything
Jeremy
unless
Roenick.
That happens.
Hey, to quote Jeremy
I just find
Roenick.
It funny, that's all. I know it's not the right play.
I understand.
I just find it funny
but
how
to quote
nobody
Jeremy
says anything
Roenick,
unless that happens. But that's why you don't do it.
But to quote Jeremy Roenick, everybody in the building knew he was supposed to wrap that puck around the wall.
Well, yeah. I mean, the ref knew he was supposed to do it.
Yeah.
But you know, it is funny, though. We've never talked about this because it's not, like, exciting, but have you noticed how the game over the last, I don't know, however many years, they do use the center of the ice more as an outlet now because teams cover that side, cover the board? Now, I'm not saying they did in that instance, but my point is, have you noticed that, though? I mean, it's probably hard as a coach for you guys to tell guys, you know, I understand why we're using that, but it's, you know, sooner or later it's going to bite you in the ass, kind of like it did last night.
Well, here's the thing. So many teams are working low to high, and they've told their forwards, if you get the puck down low and you get in trouble, one of your release points or one of your release options is the weak side rim to your D on the weak side on the wall there, or it could be a strong side. But so the D are spread more in those situations and covering the wall when they see that there's traffic down low and their forwards might be in trouble and need that release. So then that creates the middle of the ice open, especially on a PK.
On a PK, yeah. That was the thing. You know, it was – I don't know. I just find it – I mean, I've seen it more and more, and you sit there and – I mean, we can go way back here, but, you know, what's – you know, those teaching cues, what's one that you have all the time? Never the middle. Never the middle. Keep it out of the middle.
Right.
But it's happening more and more.
Well, and that's why, though. Because of where the deer are positioned.
It's just, you know, it's one of those evolving things in hockey. That's why I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Because, again, this is one of those deals where he's going to take a beating over this today. And, again, I don't care if he takes a beating or not, to be completely honest with you. But it is funny how it's happening more and more. And then the minute something like that happens, it's like, see, that's why you don't do that.
Well, right.
But anyway, I just thought it was interesting. But
tough play.
No, this should be an interesting show. I'd be curious to hear what our good friend Jamie Rivers has to say, as we'll have him online here in just a minute. Want to remind everybody that we are brought to you by our good friends at the Innovated Companies. Check them out at innovatedcompanies.com. They've got all three arms underneath that umbrella now: the construction team, heating and cooling, and electric, all innovated. All done by our good friend Randy Green and his wonderful daughter Stephanie Green. They have 35 years experience. He's a second generation craftsman, fully licensed, bonded, insured, and Randy's a man of his word. You're going to want to get him involved sooner rather than later. Save yourself some dough and time and energy and just stress, to be completely honest with you. Let the experts handle it, and that's innovatedcompanies.com. I think now what we're going to do is we're going to go on the bench with Butter, get Jamie Rivers and his thoughts involved in this. Before we do that, we want to remind you about our good friend Tommy Brown sitting across the table from me. TommyBrown-EA.com. Tommy Brown Tax Planning. Tommy, you're busy. I'm surprised you're here. I really thought I was going to get a, no, Jim, you'll see me after April 15th. Although, with what you're doing now, you're pretty much busy year-round, I mean, with the tax planning.
Yeah, I'm busy year-round. But like I said, last night I only got to see the third period in overtime because I was working till then. So I could be here.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Look at the dedication.
The extra hours last night, after hours, so he
this
could
is like
get
stepbrothers,
here.
Putting in the man hours. After, research, R&D.
R&D.
Did you put liquid paper on a bee?
It died.
Did it die? Well,
after hours for me is around 1 o'clock, not right now.
Oh, gee, there, Christmas. Attaboy. The golf game is really suffering during tax season.
It is kind of warm.
But let's go now to our celebrity line here as we're on the bench with Butter and welcome in the one, the only, Jamie Rivers. What's happening, Mr. Rivers?
Oh, not much. Just, I guess I'm clinging on to the Blues bandwagon right now by fingertips.
By fingertips. Well, we got a full house in here today. I'm not alone today. We've got Coach Henson, Coach Butter, both from McKendree. I know you're familiar with both of them, as they're familiar with your handiwork. So got a full group in here, and I think we're all feeling like you, hanging on, clinging to hopes, although Gary's got a look on his face like he's still not believing. He's got that Kimball look right now.
All you guys
now.
In there is like Howard Stern's whack pack, isn't it?
That's true.
Jamie's whack pack. Maybe that's what we can affectionately go by.
Oh, geez.
You had a nice tweet last night about Mr. Schwartz. Greasy. You like that term, greasy?
Yeah, greasy. It just means that, you know, he's finding ways to score goals. Like, obviously, first goal to me is great because he changes the stick angle just at the last second. And what that does, it makes the goalie think he's going glove, and then he goes opposite side. And once the goalie gets the weight on that one plant foot, which was his blocker, it's hard to come back the other way. So to me, that's a greasy little move by changing up the shot angle with the use of the stick. And then certainly his goal in overtime, the coast-to-coast was fantastic, but if you watch right at the very end, right before he scores, it's a greasy little tuck back in between the defenseman's legs to shoot through the wickets on a bit of a screenshot to score the goal. So, you know, those two things are very greasy, and certainly the celebration was extra greasy. So, well played, Mr. Schwartz.
Well, you know, we were talking a little bit about the overall game. Obviously, the Blues are in a tough situation. They've obviously have to hold up their end of the bargain, which they have recently. They need a little help as well. They've gotten a little. We need a little more. Some help from Calgary last night would have been appreciated. But in the end, you know, pretty good game overall. I thought the first 10 minutes were a little rough. Gary thought the whole first period was a little rough. But I thought very well played second and third period. I thought Jake Allen made some great saves. But I did get, you know, watching the game, you got the sense that here's this crowd ready to get behind the Blues, and you know what we get is a just an outstanding performance by Schwartz, and the place was ready to explode, and it did when he scored in the third. So awfully nice for the crowd, for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, watching the game, you could certainly sense that momentum was shifting and at one point even on NBC, they said the ice was tilted in favor of the Blues. And this was before they scored. You could just feel that at some point it was going to break open here. And finally, you know, Shen makes a great pass up to Steen. Steen makes a quick little leave of the puck. It's a great play all around, but you could, like you said, it's just you could feel the energy in the building that just wanted to erupt. And when he scored that goal, I knew after, I shouldn't say I knew, I had a really strong feeling that the Blues would win that game. I didn't know if it would be in regulation, overtime, or a shootout, but I just knew at that point, I'm like, that building is just too electric right now. It's too loud. The fans are into it. The players are intense. Everybody's going, there's no way they're losing this game.
Yeah, I was, you know, the game started out. It's funny, we were speaking before you got on the air. I had made mention to Coach Henson and Butter as they coach, obviously, at the collegiate level. You know, Petrangelo's going to take a bath today over the play up the ice. And I had told them, and I had asked.
Why would he take a bath?
Well, I had said to them that I've noticed.
What?
I've noticed routinely that this is happening more and more at getting thrown up the middle of the ice like that, especially in that situation. And, you know, I guess this is one of those, see, this is why we don't do it moments, but it is happening more and more, the use of the middle of the ice in the NHL. But, I mean, are you just, you know, that's unlucky, or are you in the camp of that's why you rim it around the boards and keep it out of harm's way?
No, absolutely not. I mean, the NHL is a smart league these days, and when power plays execute their forecheck, they primarily take away the strong side wall with the guy on the opposite side ready to close out the hard rim wall. So oftentimes they're anticipating that hard rim so that when you rim it around, you're rimming it right into a player who's set to either control it over there or bump it back to where the puck just came from to create relief. So the play of going around the wall, I don't want to say it's obsolete because when it's there, it can be used, but otherwise it's a tactic by the power play to close off the walls. And so for years now, I'll go back to even when I started playing in Detroit. For years, guys like Nick Lidstrom would act like they're going to go back around the net, turn, and rifle it up the guts of the ice because ordinarily, like you said, it's not an anticipated play. Like, who the hell would think he's going to throw it up the middle of the ice, right?
Well, the referee.
Here's where I'm headed with it, right? So that's often the thought of players and forechecking teams that, well, you know, odds are he can't make that play. Well, guess what? Do some background check. Clip some video. Petrangelo does that a lot, and he has done that for the last couple of years. Goes back, pulls it up, and rifles it up the guts of the ice. Fantastic play. Brad Watson, and I know Brad since I played in the OHL, since I was 16 years old. He's a hell of a guy. He's a hell of a ref. He tried, because he's doing his best to read the play as it's happening fast. He's trying to jump out of the way because Brad doesn't know that Petro's going to fake the hard rim and go up the guts of the ice. So he tries to get out of the way, which he thinks, okay, he's going to smash this thing around the wall. Being a referee, it's not like he's totally in the know of what the strategies are of the penalty-killing team or what they might do. So he steps to the middle of the ice. Unfortunately, he gets hit by the puck, and it goes to Donato, who slams it in the net. So to me, it's a freakish play. It's a hell of a play by Petro. Unfortunately, Brad Watson didn't get the memo on how they're going to kill penalties. So, you know, if the Blues lose the game on that goal, it turns out to be more than it actually is. But they didn't lose the game, and they didn't lose it on that goal. So, to me, it's just a freaky thing that kind of is funny now.
Man, do you have any idea how you just echoed everything I said before you came on here? So you and I are in lockstep. That's not good. That's not good that you
There's
and
no
I
way.
Agreed.
There's no way you broke it down like I did.
Oh, no. Not that part of it. I'm saying the fact that Petrangelo does that all the time, and he's going to take a bath on it, and people are going to say that's the wrong play. But
I don't remember it that way.
Coach Henson absolutely broke down the reasoning why you do it and why you don't do it. He did a great job, I thought.
Good.
Yeah.
Well,
Hold on. It's just one play, though. Nobody's perfect, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's perfect. So, and Petro's been playing great.
Holy cow. Somebody write that down.
I know.
Did you just say that out
yeah,
loud?
Yes, I did.
Because he is your whipping boy.
He is my whipping boy. He's playing great. But that play, as much as I explained what Jamie explained too,
right?
The weak side rim wasn't there or was there for him in that scenario. And to quote Jeremy Roenick, everybody in the building knew he should have gone weak side room there. So
except for him and Jamie,
except for Petro and
Jamie.
And Rich.
Well, you know what though? I'd like to know is where the weak side Blues forward was. Was he in the middle of the ice?
Well, what happened is, what happened is you see the weak side forward from the Blues try to fly a little bit. And
that's
so,
right.
Yeah, and so Petro saw that is what I think. Derek Pallardy, one of our coaches, Jamie, and one of the guys that works for you at Synergy, he and I were texting about it last night too. And if you watch, you see the weak side winger on the Blues try to fly, but there is no weak side coverage by Boston in that scenario just last night. But again, it's just one little it's one play. You can't say it's a little play, but he's made better plays in his life, but it didn't cost us, so they got the 2 points.
Well, based on the percentages and the database that I have of referees being hit in the ass and puck going right to
and
the
I want to know how
and then into the net, I'd like to say that that's probably just a freak accident.
Well, yeah, and how I want to know how old that referee is that that you've known him since he's 16 and he's still in the freaking
since
league.
Jamie's 16.
Yeah, since Jamie's 16. That guy's got to be like 65. No wonder he couldn't get out of the way.
He's not. I remember when we were playing junior hockey, he was a very young ref that had gotten an injury as a junior player that aged out, and they transformed him into a ref right away because that was kind of just like a lot of guys are doing now. They're moving those guys into refereeing, and he happened to be a really young OHL referee, and so.
All right, we'll give you that one.
In there.
I'm just saying.
Obviously, like. You know, Schwartz gave the crowd everything they needed, gave the Blues what they needed. I thought Jake Allen played well. I think the concern now, Blues fans have a couple of concerns. Let's start first and foremost with the in-game stuff, and then we'll get to who was in the press box and where we're headed there. But any concern from you that Mr. Shen's going to get a call from the league and told to sit down for a game or two, or was this just a case of he may lose a little money out of the pocketbook, but the player put himself in a bad position on the hit. What's your thoughts on the Shen hit?
Well, I've watched that hit no less than 30 times.
Which I have no doubt.
And what I don't like about it, the optics of it are really bad.
Yeah.
Meaning he comes in hard on the forecheck. He's not wrong when he says his elbow's tucked, his skates are on the ice, all these things. But what happens is, the angle, the trajectory of his body, if you pause it and you use just an angle ruler, if he's really staying low for point of contact, the angle is, you know, like a 55-degree angle or 60-degree angle on that ruler. Unfortunately, it's like 45 degrees to 40 degrees on the angle, which means he's launching himself in an upward motion, which I get it because that's how you throw a body check, but when you throw it to someone's head, and you've launched yourself that way, even though your skates are on the ice and your elbow's tucked, and then the head is the primary point of contact, God, it just doesn't look good. And, you know, that's my Department of Safety breakdown of it right there. As a player, I love the hit. You know, yeah, he put himself in that position, should have his head up, shouldn't leave himself vulnerable, all those things that I believe in. But the Department of Player Safety is not going to care what I believe in. They're going to look at exactly like I just told you guys, all those little details. So I think he gets a game.
Oh, boy.
Suspension.
Really?
Now, that's only because of the way it looks. When you slow it down and when you see how he launches himself upward, and unfortunately it's upward, not into his shoulder, it's upward into a chin. I would love to see him just get a fine, but I'm thinking it's a game. Hopefully, wow. I'm wrong.
I hope you're wrong, too. I mean, that's – Jamie, you tell us, like, what is he supposed to do there,
yeah,
I guess?
That's the
like,
problem.
I think that's the real question fans would have because you're right. If you're a fan and you're watching and you slow this down, you'll see that Jamie's obviously right because he's an expert on it. But when he makes contact with the Boston player – then his feet come off the ground, which accentuates what Jamie's saying about him elevating himself and launching himself. If he doesn't launch himself, his skates would have stayed on the ground after the hit, but they come off the ground after the hit, which means he has to be launching himself upward. But I want to know, Jamie, like, you know, somebody in the NHL and played at that speed, what do you do? Like, how do you avoid that? Do you just not play the body at all?
See, that's my question. The game, like, is so fast. What do you do?
You're told from the time you're three, to go in and finish your check, and first man in takes a body and separates a guy, second guy, 2MQ comes in and picks up the puck, and then, I mean, I don't know what to say to fans, Jamie.
Here's what it is, and I kid you not, I'm looking at it right now in slow motion, and the problem I'm seeing with it is his stick is never on the puck. His stick is in the middle of the ice, which is the wrong side of the puck. Then his stick is off the ice, and he launches himself up into the player. So if he's to avoid a suspension, he's got to come in there, stick on puck, keeping his stick on the ice in order to look like he's at least playing a forecheck to retain the puck, not retain someone's head on this play. And he turns his body from it being a left shoulder check into a right shoulder check, which would mean he's maneuvered around Krejci's actual shoulder and into his face. Now, yeah. I'm not saying he did it on purpose. I'm not saying he had the time to think about all this stuff. But what I'm saying is this is the exact view the NHL is going to look at in super slow-mo with all those details and say, man, we've been cracking down on these exact plays. So in order for Shen to avoid that in the future, he's got to make an effort to show that he's pursuing the puck, that he has a purpose on that play, not just to maim the guy. And I know it's the new NHL, and I hate saying it that way, but that's the way to stay out of the box. And he's got to stay low. He can't launch himself upward if the head is even at risk of being hit.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens. A game right now without Braden Shen, that'd be rough. I hate to say that.
It's
He's been all that in a bag of chips.
Yeah, but that's exactly right. And it leads us right into where we're headed. I know where we're headed next is 91,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, so now we're talking about 10. And 91, so Tarasenko and Shen possibly being out of the lineup for the next game. And the Blues have done a bang-up job of continuing to win and play well without Tarasenko, which, you know, is great short-term that they've played so well. Long-term, they're going to need his offensive ability. But to lose both of them would be an absolute blow right now.
Okay, well, and you did go right where we were going to go next, and that's 91. A lot of conflicting things going around. I saw something, I believe it was, I don't want to be misquoted. It was either Rutherford or Strickland yesterday said that it is not a concussion, but then I heard that they asked Yo, and Yo said upper body injury, and that's all he would say. I mean, we've all seen the tape. How can it be anything but concussion-like symptoms? I don't know. I mean, are you hearing anything that you can share, or is this one you don't want to touch?
No. I mean, I guess I would comment on it if they were actually talking more about it, but it's been pretty locked down there as far as information on this injury, and justifiably so. I mean, who wants to leak out what's the problem with your star player when it's so close to playoffs? But yeah, I've watched that play over and over, and if that's actually the play that sidelines him, because we're not sure, because they haven't said, oh, that's the play and that's where it happened, if that is the play, then I'd have to say that he's suffering some kind of concussion-like symptoms because his jaw is not wired shut, nothing's broken, he hasn't had to have surgery on his face in any capacity, no dental work, so... Yeah, you know, I'm not a doctor or a specialist, but that would lead me to believe there's only one logical answer, and that he's, you know, got something going on in the brain area.
Well, and again, he's had an issue before, although it's been 2-3 years?
Yeah.
So it's been a while since he had the issue, and it's such a finicky issue, you know. I mean, I don't know how you. It affects everybody differently. And again, we talked a little bit on Monday that it didn't look like much to any of us.
Well, it didn't look like much to the Blues either, because
he went on the trip.
Well, and everyone always says, what an outstanding trainer Ray Borelli is, and he didn't react to that hit either. So I kind of wonder if Jamie's onto something, that might not necessarily been the hit that caused it. You know, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it could have been something different
earlier in the game, and then
or
that
later.
Maybe,
you know, like he got dinged a little bit there, and then something happened later.
No, he went to the bench after that, and then didn't come back out. I don't think after
the
next period.
No, he played the rest of the period. He played, and Borelli standing right behind him.
Yeah,
like it looked like nothing to everyone is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, obviously it'll come out in the wash here as things move on, because once he does get healthy and once he does come back, or if he's out for a really extended period of time, then they're forced to disclose, you know, what's going on. But we'll see.
Maybe it's just like a strained neck or something.
Could be. Maybe him and Carter Hutton slept on the wrong bed together.
Oh, boy. Oh, doctor. Hey, let's not have any Twitter alerts with stuff like that, all right? I mean, we don't need any of that.
They both slept in the bathtub after a tough night out.
Yeah. How are you feeling right now? I mean, I know you're going to be as positive as you can be, but you're also a realist. I mean, you keep it real on the show for sure. You're a Blues fan. I mean, you know, you're close to some of the guys, but you keep it fairly real. How are you feeling right now? I mean, this is one of those things, like we talked about it. If they can keep the momentum up, and if they could possibly squeak in, maybe they go into this thing playing at the top of their game, and who knows what happens. But it does seem like a big, big mountain to climb. How are you feeling today about their chances with, what do we have, 9 remaining? Is it 9, Gary?
Yeah.
8. I think it's 8.
8.
Maybe it's 9. I don't know.
Weather.
Counting with math was never your strong suit. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
That's not even math.
No,
that's counting.
No. What?
But
I was told there'd be no math.
I was told there'd be no math on this quiz. No, but here's where I am with the Blues right now is I'm a big details guy when it comes to the way a team plays and how you create your identity and create your culture. And so to me, if you look back statistically, okay, and I know analytics is not something I'm big on. However, the information right now from the stats tells me that the Blues are being more aggressive than their opponent. And what shows that to me is that they're 2-1 in hits in three of the last four games, almost 2-1 in hits on their opponent, which means that they're initiating the play out there. Usually if you're giving hits, it means you're on your toes. You're the one initiating the forecheck, initiating the physical play, and you're not on your heels. So that to me is an indicator that they're ready to do battle. And when you're playing that way, you have no choice but to be intense, engaged, energetic, all of these things. And it creates team speed. It creates more puck possession because odds are you're separating the guy from the puck if you're doing it properly and your teammates are coming in for the loose change that's laying there. So I really like that aspect of it. I like that they're limiting the shots on goal. I think last night was in the 20s again, the low 20s. I think that's 3 games in a row that's low 20s in shots against. Jake Allen's playing great. He made an unbelievable pad save in the third period last night that could have been a backbreaker for the Blues. So to me, those are the 3 things that stand out as to why they're being more successful. Now, the key is to continue to do those things, and it's not an easy thing to do because to give hits like that and to play with that kind of energy and that kind of intensity, it takes a lot out of your players. And, you know, they're not real deep right now up front, and they're getting by. So to me, the big tell is going to be, can they continue to play this way? Can they consistently bring the heat like they are right now?
You know, we've seen Jake Allen steal a series before. We've seen him play well, definitely in spurts for sure. If he could carry you for a long stretch like that, I mean, would the Blues be one of those teams that whoever – I mean, again, we talked about Nashville and how good they are, but, you know, are the Blues the type of team that when you go into the playoffs, you're like, man – we've done it before when we've sat higher in the standings, like, man, look who we're going to have to play, and you're sitting there going, they're a 7th or 8th seed. What are we talking about here? And it's like, look how well they're playing. Look at how well their goaltender's playing. Could the Blues cause some problems for these people?
Well, yeah, I think certainly, look, anything can happen once you get in there, right? Because then once you're in the playoffs, you don't know who's injured, who's not injured. And it's sometimes it's short-term success at that point. You know, if you get a two-game jump on somebody, you know, it makes it very difficult. So, look, that's so far away, in my opinion, that I'm almost very, cautious on even commenting about it because right now they have so much work to do just to get into the playoffs. They're sitting there, two games in hand on one opponent and one game in hand on the other that are ahead of them in the standings, and they have to win those games. They're not even in the playoffs yet. They're still 2 points out. So I'm not going to go, these guys are a playoff surprise after three games in a row. I think that if they put a string of five or six or seven together and they look really strong come the end and they get in the playoffs, then I think we'll revisit it at that point.
Well, I'd like to see I'd like to see them get in. I don't know why. I mean, there's just a part of me that wants to see them, for the ownership group, for the fans.
Well, we should want them to get in. You know, I mean, they're our team. They're our guys. They're, you know, no matter how honest or critical or non-critical we are, they're our team. Of course we want them to make it.
Butter, you want them in?
I absolutely want them in. There's nothing like having a playoff hockey. I don't care if we're just making it by the edge of our teeth.
Do you think we should ask Coach Henson if he wants them in?
No.
I know.
Don't ask me.
I am going to ask you.
What?
Why don't you want them in?
It's not I don't want them in. It's just I'm trying to weigh what makes us better in the future because I just am not sure this is the team. I'm just going to say it. This team can't win the Stanley Cup. They can't.
No, but Gary,
I don't want to wait around another year for playoff hockey.
Well, I understand that too.
No, but guys, listen up here. Gary, here's where I understand what you're saying, but we talked about this the other day on the show, is they've gone so close now. They've gotten so close to being in the playoffs. Whether they make it or not isn't going to impact their future. It's not like it's going to really improve their draft slot or their draft position. Because they're right there. They've almost gone too far as it is to be considered one of those teams that gets a substantial draft pick. And, like Kimby mentioned, they have four or five kids that are in line waiting to break this lineup that are already blue-chip prospects. So, you know, you can't just go for seven, eight young kids that are going to come in. So, to me, this is a perfect situation to push your team. We're not at the trade deadline anymore, so we're not having to give away things or to hang on to players and do the wrong thing. Now it's already been determined. So this is the squad we're going with. We got some draft picks in return. We've got something to build on in the future with our prospects. So making the playoffs, to me, there's no disadvantage to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense. What I'm saying is I just want drastic change. I do. I want drastic change to this team.
I think we're going to see that anyways, because I don't think Doug Armstrong and the coaching staff are going to be happy with the body of work that was going on through the middle of the season. And no matter what they finish or how they place, whatnot, that's not going to change. And I think that some of the feelings towards those players or towards some of those prospects, whoever it is that they don't like, I think they're going to clean house on those guys.
Gotcha.
You know, like we're critical of Petro halfway through the season, but you know what? This is a guy that right now I'm looking at and going, you know what? I think he might be that leader. I think he might be that guy. He's not vocal. He's not, but man, his actions are speaking pretty loud right now. So maybe we give Petro a little more leniency going into the offseason and we circle back and say, okay, so what was the other problems then? Maybe those guys need to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I appreciate that. Well, I guess I'm need to go on the record here with my feelings about 27. He's kind of turned me in the last 2 weeks. If he would play like this, I'm okay with it.
Holy cow.
I'm okay with it because
wow.
I know, but he's
no, been, I'm glad.
He's been a leader on the ice and he's been a dominant player on the ice. My question is, and maybe Jamie can address it, is where was it? Like, this guy has world-class top 5D capability. And you don't see it all the time.
Right.
And then he shows it now. Like, why weren't you showing it before?
I don't know. Maybe Jamie Benn had to sit on him to bring it out of him. I don't know. Seriously.
Started on that again.
Well, no, but hasn't this research, hasn't this happened since maybe he, you know I what? Listen, that's not far from the
truth.
Maybe he watched video of it and thought, what the hell's wrong with me? I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, there were enough posts on Twitter and all those other places that showed, you know, him being sat on. But look, guys, I think that, you know, Petro's still a young captain, meaning that not his age, but his term so right. far as a captain. And to me, it takes time to figure out what kind of a leader you're going to be, what it takes to be a certain type of leader. And if you're a lead by example kind of guy, then you have to figure out that it's a lead by example every day, all the time. Practice, training, games, video, everything. You have to lead by impeccable example. And I always use Steve Yzerman as the measuring stick, because Stevie wasn't a very vocal leader. Now, don't get me wrong, he spoke his time when it was needed to be done. However, he was the guy that led by with impeccable examples of how to be a hockey player. And so being that Petro's still figuring out this captaincy thing, maybe he's at the same time, I guess, carving out what he's going to be as a leader, and he's figured out that this is the way he has to play, this is the way he has to be. So to me, it's always a learning process as a hockey player, whether you're a young guy, middle of your career, an elite player, then they throw a letter on you. If it's an A, you have to act a certain way. Then if it's a C, you have to be a certain way. Like, there's always steps to growing as a player. And to me, I see him evolving maybe to a player that he's never been before. And I think that's a good sign.
I was going to say, I don't see any way, shape, or form how this is a bad thing for the Blues overall.
It certainly is. I don't think anybody's saying that, though.
Yeah.
I think we're praising, I think everybody's in accordance here that we're praising Petro's body of work over the last little while. I think that people are just wondering, where was it the entire season? And you know what? I don't think anybody has the answer to that. I think that it's a long season. I think it's tough. I think there were some injuries. I think there were some partner issues. I think there was other things that maybe crept in. But overall, I think this is the guy that can be the everyday player for us.
Well, yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the A's and the C's. I think fans, we do. We care, I think, a little bit more about that probably, and give it more weight than the players do, because I know as players, you know, we've talked about it with you and Darren before. Everybody has a role and a responsibility. But when you wear the C, you kind of have to be everything to everybody. And what I mean by that is you really only owe it to the guys in the locker room. But the fans expect certain things when you wear a C, I guess. And if you're not, if there's one of the areas that you're not fulfilling in their eyes, you're going to take a beating. And, for Gary and I, you know, we text all the time. We talk about it all the time on the show. But, you know, for Gary to be changing his opinion of 27 is, a monumental move.
Well, here's why.
And not that he has to justify himself to you, but my point is, but you carry the same opinion of him that a lot of fans do, I think. And it isn't that he's awful or whatever, but is that he has all this talent, and now it's like, well, here it comes, and can we sustain it? And if we can, what we have here is a true number one defenseman.
Well, I've never said the guy wasn't world-class talent.
No.
What I said was I question his heart sometimes, and I wanted a more physical, for lack of a better term, captain. Now, I'll tell you this. Well, from what I've seen in the last 2 weeks, for as many – like, that guy is willing to pay the price to block shots. Like, and block a lot of shots. And he's giving up his body a lot. And I'll tell you what, I'll take a punch in the face before I'll block one of those shots. I'm not kidding. That takes huge guts. Because those guys just flat rip the puck now. I mean, they just, all of them just rip it. And I'm sorry, but you can watch, just, I'll tell you this. I saw a puck go into the stands and flutter past a kid, a lady's face, just flutter. And then all of a sudden she had a huge gash over her eye. Like, and all that puck was doing was fluttering. It was, you know, and for you to get down in that position and know that you're just going to get ripped right there, I'll take a punch any day.
Jamie, you took pucks and punches. What would you rather take?
Did we lose him?
Oh, man. That was a good answer.
Well, we missed it.
We missed it. You cut out. I said, we know you took a lot of punches, and we know you took some pucks. What would you rather take?
I said, it depends who's punching.
Oh, boy.
But, no, you know what? You're right. Here's the thing, and I tell this to my own sons, and I tell it to the kids I coach, is it takes a special kind of mentality to know that you're going to get hurt if you step in front of that puck. It takes a special kind of mentality and desire to knowingly put yourself in harm's way every time someone's going to shoot. And that, to me, separates a guy, a courageous guy, and a non-courageous guy, right? Like, what's the old, the Navy, the Air Force had the saying, you know, courage are the guys that are afraid but go anyway. And to me, this is a situation where you have a guy that knows it's going to hurt and goes anyways. And that really is the ultimate sacrifice for his team.
And so he's
whether
doing
it's a punch
that.
In the face or a shot block or a hit where you're getting run and you got to take a hit to make a play, anytime you're showing your teammates, the fans, the media, everybody, that you're willing to sacrifice of yourself for the benefit of the team, to me, you can't beat that stuff. That's good shit.
Well, Jamie, I know we went a little long with you today, and I know how busy you get. We want to thank you for joining us. And, of course, special thanks go out to the Nelson family with NelsonLandServices.com, the wonderful landscaping company, good friends of yours, and obviously Kimby's. You guys have done a lot, been on the ice a ton with their kids, and they do so much for amateur hockey here in St. Louis. So we want to encourage all of our listeners to check out NelsonLandServices.com for any of their landscaping needs. And, of course, your wonderful company, SynergyHockeySkills.com, the two gentlemen in my presence here have benefited greatly and are as big a part of the support of Synergy Hockey Skills as anybody that's come on the show. Before you go, you want to let our listeners know what you got going on there, and then we'll let you get out of here.
Yeah, kind of the same as usual here. Summer camps are filling up quickly. We're already looking to reserve second sheets of ice for single camps, which would mean we're probably ready to open up for two groups on some of these. So, once again, go to SynergyHockeySkills.com, click on Summer Camps, find the one that you like at the arena that you like, and sign up quickly because I can't guarantee that they'll be there that long.
Well, we appreciate you greatly for all you do for the show and, of course, the insights that you give our fans. They really do appreciate it. And I guess I will see you Monday in studio, my friend.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
That is the great Jamie Rivers. And, of course, we appreciate his insight, as I just mentioned. You know, it is interesting that, you know, when you talk to a guy that's played in the league that long, you know, some of the things that he's feeling are really no different than fans and what he would want. And again, to your point, if Pietrangelo can play this way and we can get a again, to your point, not that he's never been a good defenseman, but now I think there is more there. You know, it's funny, we kind of joked around about it, but do you think the Jamie Benn incident had anything to do with this? Because it has, oddly enough.
You know, that's...
Well, you wonder if he sat there and went...
I'm not going to lie. I did not think of that at all until you said it. And since that day, he's been a different guy. So, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it's kind of a conspiracy theory kind of issue. But it didn't look good.
Well, let me ask you this.
It didn't look good. I'm by no means a tough guy, but if I was I would have hoped I'd react differently.
Everybody in this room has played hockey, okay, some varying degree, right? Would it bother you?
Would it bother me if that was me?
And you didn't play in the NHL. Would it bother you if it happened to you in a damn roller hockey game?
Yeah, but
that's my point.
Play roller.
My point is that's my point. It doesn't matter what it is.
It
would
doesn't
it bother
like,
you.
It would definitely bother me if I had to watch that video and see me sitting there, essentially getting punked. I would not feel good about myself.
Butter, would it bother you?
Oh, absolutely. It just shows that your teammates aren't sticking up for you, and there's got to be a reason why. Because if you're the captain and nobody's got your back, then maybe he's thinking there's an issue.
He didn't even have his own back.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of where I was going with it. Yeah. I agree with you too, Butter. I mean, I think there's more, and I guess it's kind of like with all athletes. There's always more inside of you, and sometimes it takes something.
Well, right. And so let's put, maybe we're probably making more of this than there is.
Maybe.
But maybe not. But you're right. I mean, it's out there, and it didn't look good. But what I'll say to Butter's point about your teammates didn't come in, that's the captain. You know, and I understand I understand there are times that you go into a scrum and somebody's got your captain, whatever, and – but ultimately, it's the captain's responsibility to step up for the captain.
Right. But
he didn't.
He's supposed to do that. But also, your teammates are supposed to do that. And if he didn't see them step up for him, then he's got to wonder in his mind, maybe there's an issue with me.
Yeah, and where I think we're all going down the same road here. But
I'm just curious what you guys thought, only because, like I said,
he's been a different animal since that day. He's and I'd really be bothered if it was Jamie Benn. I'm just not going to. That guy's such a – never mind.
Yeah, but wouldn't you like it if he played for us?
I don't know. There's certain guys I don't know if I could handle. Brad Marchand's one of them.
Oh, I could handle him.
You could handle him?
Oh, yeah.
You know why? Stature.
I think you guys
are the same damn stature. I don't want Brad – if Brad Marchand walked in here and said, hey, I want to be on the Blues NHL podcast today, we'd have a problem. I'd run over there and push him and run like hell. But I can't stand that guy. I had to watch that guy run around last night. Oh, man. What an asshole.
Ooh. Yeah, he is. But
I don't want him on my team.
You got to have those
guys. Not that guy. Yeah. No, I don't want that guy.
I would take him.
Yeah, okay.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. I would love to have Jamie Benn on the St. Louis Blues, and I think anybody that wears a blue note on their chest that goes to a Blues game would be ecstatic to have Jamie Benn.
Well, there's no doubt that
he's
a world-class man, but he's such a jerk.
And he would be a jerk for us.
I know.
We've had plenty of jerks wear the blue note before, and we loved it when they played for us. Come on.
You know what I did like, though, is when he scored in overtime and he snapped his stick over his leg. I'm not going to lie, that was pretty cool.
Oh, listen, he can play for me any day.
He would grow on me, but Brad Marchand would never grow on me. Never, ever grow on me.
Never.
Never.
Ever.
No, ever.
If he was pulling his antics for us against Chicago or Detroit, I would like it.
I don't want that guy anywhere near.
Oh, I'd love it.
If that guy walked in this lobby and they said, Brad Marchand's out here, want to meet him, I'd say no. I don't want to meet him. I don't want to meet him. I don't want to talk to him. Nothing.
Okay.
I'm not even going to let a guy on the McKendree Bearcats ever wear number 63.
Well, ever.
Well, that's easy.
Ever.
That's easy to do.
I'm just saying. That's how much I can't stand him. Like, if we had a recruit call me and go, hey, I got to have number 63, I'd be like, hey, call the next school. Watch some kid call me today. Some parent calls. My kid wants to play Bearcat hockey and be 63. Nope.
Well, let's hear from our good friend Dennis Minner. It's time to go to him now. He comes to us live from Minner Arena each week. And, of course, we had such a great time doing the show from Minner Arena and Tony Twist joining us. It was a great episode, and we appreciated Tony doing that. I know the fans appreciated it as well. You know, let's see what Dennis has for us this week. And don't forget his newest partner, Adam Smokehouse, Tremendous Barbecue, and all the great stuff that they do for charity there. I know it was a great event, and people really had a great time. So thank you so much for your support. Let's see what Dennis has for us. Take it away, pal.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Dennis Minner coming at you live from Minner Arena. Follow me on Twitter, at Minner Arena, M-I-N-N-E-R, at Arena. And I am brought to you by the one, the only, the amazing Adam Smokehouse. And you know what? This weekend, first full weekend of spring, and you know what I'm doing? I'm having some friends over. The barbecue grill's not ready, so you know what? I'm going to order some of those amazing, amazing tasty ribs and some smoked wings, and I'm going to have Adam Smokehouse cater it. Call him 314-265-3485. Adam Smokehouse, big or small, they cater them all. Holy crap, guys. What did I just witness? The Blues have now won. Check this out. The Blues have won five games this entire season when trailing after two periods. Three of those games have been the last three, and we've won them all in overtime. I don't know what's going on. The team is finally stepping up. Petro, Schwartz, these guys are absolutely on fire. I'm even hearing Thorburn's name. You know, watching NBC even. I mean, they're throwing Thorburn's name out there. He's dropping gloves. He's making hits. Allen is coming back to the same Allen that he was this time last year. Going into the playoffs, he started getting really, really hot. We see him doing that again. here's what's really crazy, though. We're doing this without Tarasenko. Whatever's going on with Tarasenko, whether, it is a concussion protocol or whatever, I hope this kind of wakes him up. He has been, in and out, but he's still hands down the number one guy on our team, and I hope that he can come back here really soon and just add to this. But as of right now, we're only 1 point away from breaking into the wild card spot. But you know what really pisses me off? I mean, I would love to stay in a great mood and just say positive things, but those of you that listen to me for more than the first 1 minute without fast-forwarding know that I typically have something to gripe about, and here it is. Where has this team been the last several months? I mean, seriously, we should not be right now with all with the way this team started, with the talent on this team. There's no reason that we should all be clenching our butt cheeks, knowing and thinking if we're going to make it into a playoff wild card spot. A week ago, just 1 week ago, I was thinking, and like most of you, we had absolutely no shot whatsoever. And here it is. I've given my heart back. I've handed it back over to the Blues, and I'm just waiting for the heartbreak. I don't want to wait for the heartbreak, but, here it is. Got three more games before we talk next time, and, how incredible would it be if we snuck into these playoffs? Hey, I do want to mention this week's poll. I asked what the goal song should be for, a gazillion years. The song after we score a goal has been When the Blues Come Marching In. And all of the sudden, you heard the team trying the song on off and on all year, but the Seven Nation Army, which is a fine song, it's a cool song in itself, but it's very overplayed in the sports. I just don't like messing with certain traditions. So I threw out the poll, and I just asked, what song would you rather hear, Seven Nation Army or When the Blues Come Marching In? We had over 300 people voted on that. 79% of you said, we want When the Blues Come Marching In. All right, so the other 21% of you needs to, do whatever. But 79% of you are correct. Let me make this very clear while I'm talking to you guys. Stop blaming Patrico. He and I were talking back and forth on some messages on Twitter, and people are blaming him for it. Guys, he's the DJ. Yes, he's the one playing Seven Nation Army, but it's not his decision. This is a Blues decision. So tweet at the Blues, just at St. Louis Blues. Tell them to get rid of that stupid song and tell them to go back to the tradition that the vast majority of us want, because most of us are fed up with some of these silly things that they're trying to do, in and off the ice. So, hey, again, this is Dennis Minner live at Minner Arena. Follow me again on Twitter at Minner Arena. And please do not forget to check out my sponsor, Adam Smokehouse. You can find them on Twitter at Adam Smokehouse. And don't forget, big or small, they cater them all. Give them a call, 314-265-3485. And I will talk to you guys again next week. And until then, let's go Blues.
Great stuff. Really appreciate it. And again, special thanks to Adam Smokehouse for bringing us the segment from our good friend Dennis Minner, and of course, his live from Minner Arena. Happy to have them be a part of the show, and we love his passion, and we love his fandom. That's a great thing. The other gentleman that we're very excited to be associated with is the wonderful Brad Lee and everything he does for St. Louis Blues hockey for the fans. His St. Louis Game Time is a tremendous rag. You can get out in front of the Scott Trade Center, find the vendors as they're located throughout, or, of course, you can subscribe, as I am, and receive it in your inbox on game day. Does a tremendous amount of work, gives a tremendous amount of energy to all the Blues fans out there. I highly encourage you to check it out. Let's see what Brad has for us this week.
Hi, this is Brad with the St. Louis Game Time section of the podcast. You can find us online at stlouisgametime.com, on Facebook, on Twitter. We're also the fan run paper sold outside every Blues home game by the garage driveway, the 14th Street doors in the northeast corner of 14th and Clark, just outside the City Hall lot. I'm recording this Thursday morning after the Blues have won three games in a row in overtime. Yeah, it's exciting. It's a little crazy. Here's the stat you have to know. When trailing after the second period this season, the Blues have five wins. Three of them have come in the last three games in overtime. So they only had two before the last week. Insane. It's been exciting. It's been frustrating. It's a roller coaster every game. And you can tell just the atmosphere in Scott Trade Center goes from morose and depressed to standing up and screaming. And it's been quite the ride. So let's talk about why we should be excited and why maybe we should temper that excitement a little bit. So excited, they're showing resiliency. They're showing some mental toughness. Jake Allen played his best game in a while against Boston. He kept them in it. You know, the only goal he allowed was a weird ricochet off the official's legs where the puck just landed in front of the crease and the Bruins, slammed it home. I don't think you can fault Jake Allen on that goal. I don't even know if you can fault Pietrangelo on that, who passed the puck and hit the official. That was a routine play that the official just got in the way of. But Jake Allen in the two games previous, at Chicago and at home against New York Rangers on Saturday, had actually had a lower save percentage than the losing goalie. He's had some soft goals. He's had some short side goals allowed that most goaltenders would not fall victim to, and that's been frustrating. Of course, Carter Hutton's been hurt, and they haven't wanted to play Ville Husso, who has yet to see a minute of NHL regular season game time. So it's either been Allen or the untested guy, and they've stayed with Allen. I would love to see Carter Hutton come back and be able to play soon. This weekend and next weekend, the Blues have back-to-back games. They play Friday and Saturday both weekends. So it would be nice to have at least a little bit of a cushion, a little bit of insurance that Allen doesn't have to play every single game as the schedules get compressed. And there's, I believe, nine games left in the schedule. So some great things. Jake Allen's played well. It's good to see resiliency. They're getting goals from defensemen again. In these game-winning goals situations, they're getting scores from their best players and the players that they need to produce. They've got the right mix of what's happening. Here's the downside. The Rangers are a crap team playing with their backup goaltender. The Blackhawks are a crap team playing with their second or third string goaltender. The Bruins had five regular players out. McAvoy, Backes, Bergeron, Torrey Krug, Zdeno Chara. I mean, I didn't recognize 80 or 90% of the Bruins that were on the ice Wednesday night. And they were playing with their backup goaltender, not Tuukka Rask. And the Blues won 2-1 in overtime. I mean, I think we should temper it a little bit. You know, this thing is going to go down to the end. And it could be that the Blues are playing for the last wild card spot in the last game at Colorado. It could be that they're playing for the seventh seed. Who knows? A lot of things could happen between now and then. And you know, there are some subpar teams still left on the schedule. Friday night with Vancouver, you know, but at Columbus is not a cakewalk. There's still two more games with Chicago, who has been eliminated from the playoffs. Yay! There's a lot that could happen, and it seems like the Blues win and they get just on the doorstep of qualifying for the playoffs. And then they take a couple days off and other teams win, and then all of a sudden there are two or three teams in the way and they're back to being outside the playoffs again. So that is definitely a little bit frustrating. And so we'll see if that keeps continuing. I don't know. I want to believe three overtime wins in a row when you have to have the points. The Blues got the points. That's a great sign. Putting yourself in a position where you have to make a comeback in the third period and you have to force overtime and you have to win in overtime to get the 2 points is not a long-term recipe for success. It's exciting. It's good to see the resiliency. It's good to see the tenacious attitude. They're on the forecheck. The defensemen are activating and getting involved and pinching in. Those are all good things. But, man, that lineup is patchwork. Tarasenko's still hurt. They still only have one goaltender they want to play. There's a lot of issues, man. Kyle Brodziak was the second-line center last night. He's played great. He deserves a contract extension. He shouldn't be any higher than the third line. Playing him with Alexander Steen has been great. Alexander Steen can't play with him because he has to play with Shannon Schwartz because of the Tarasenko injury. So step one, get Tarasenko back. Step two, get Carter Hutton back so you have a little bit of a breathing room with the goaltender. And step three, keep doing what you're doing, but doing a little bit earlier in the game, please. Man, it's exciting. It's fun. This time of year is awesome. I know they probably won't go very far in the playoffs, even though last year Nashville as the eighth seed went and played for the Stanley Cup in the final. I know they're not set up to make a long run. They're set up to make some big changes with a lot of cap space. And by the way, the NHL cap could be 78, 79, 80 million next year, which means the Blues have even more room to add some players and really tinker with the top two lines and bring some impact forwards in. Not saying they're going to get John Tavares, but at least they're going to be in the conversation, it looks like. So better things and transformational things are on the horizon. But you know what? Playoff hockey is so damn fun. And playoff defeats hurt more. I get it. But man, being involved in at least for a couple weeks is better than ending the season in the regular season and watching everyone else go off and have fun in the playoffs. So I'm all in favor of them making the playoffs. It's not like they have a first round pick outside the top 10 unprotected to Philadelphia that they're playing for if they miss the playoffs. There's no benefit. So make the playoffs. All right. So like I said, game time. You can find us outside every home game. It's a 23-year fan tradition, Blues tradition. We've been outside every Blues game since they opened the Scott Trade, I mean the Savas, I mean the Kiel Center. And it's the only thing like it in the NHL. You go to any other NHL team, there's nothing like us anywhere else in the National Hockey League. So check us out. If you've never seen the paper, drop me a line at gtbradlee@gmail, gtbradlee@gmail, and I'll flip you a copy so you can check it out. Hey, thanks for listening, and back to you guys.
Great stuff as always, and appreciate everything he does. And again, I highly encourage you to check out St. Louis Game Time. Again, you can find it before all Blues home games out in front of Scott Trade with one of their vendors, or you can contact them direct and get subscribed. It's a great thing, and you'll really enjoy the thought-provoking articles that you're going to find. They're not the traditional things you're going to see in STL Today or The Athletic or whatever that stuff is. This is stuff by fans that may spark a lot of conversation between you and some of your own fans. So really do appreciate it, and we want to thank them very much. Butter,
yes.
As we're still on the bench with you, your thoughts heading into this little surge here. What do you think? Can they do it?
It's going to be 2 weeks of tough hockey. So, but the way I'm going to go into it is just thinking, this is basically playoff hockey that we're in now. I love playoff hockey. And if we can make it to the playoffs, it'd be great. But watching them battle until either they're in or they're mathematically eliminated, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Coach Henson.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I know there's a lot of diehard Blues fans out there that are trying to will this team to the playoffs, and I appreciate that. And I'm not rooting against them by any stretch. But again, I guess I'm being a little bit more pessimistic today than usual. But I don't know. I want drastic change. And I guess Jamie's right. I'll trust Jamie's expertise that we're well into drastic change territory already. And if that's the case, then by all means, let's have a playoff series, and maybe we'll bring some of the young kids in and let them play in that playoff series and get them ready, because some of the veterans, I don't care if they play in the playoffs.
Oh, boy. Well, again, if we can create some havoc in there and do some things, again, we all want to point to L.A., the year they made the run out of the eighth spot and say anything can happen.
Well, Nashville last year, weren't they?
No.
No? I thought they were in a lower seed.
No, that was
I couldn't.
LA came in the eighth.
Yeah.
And made.
But played great down the strip. But they're, my
they're,
only.
They're a little different eighth than we would.
Well, I was going to say. Yeah. I think what it comes down to, and this is the hard part, because you could sit here and say, well, you know, we could argue back and forth about it. But, I mean, it's how your team's constructed, you know. And I agree with you to the point of, I don't know that we're, I mean, Kimball says this all the time, and I don't know that we're built to play in the playoffs.
You're right.
Yeah, we're just not physical enough.
Well, and so to go with exactly what you're just saying, Jamie says, and Jamie's right, the Blues have been more physical.
Sure.
And but it's physical when you see an opponent once and you don't see him the next day. And physicality does, when you're not a highly skilled team, when you're not, you know, Detroit back in the day, and you're not Pittsburgh now, and you're not a highly skilled team, how you compete is you wear your opponent down physically. You out hit them 2-1, which is what the Blues have done. That's hard to do for this team to. That's going to be hard for this team to do consistently in a series in the Western Conference, because in the Western Conference, the Blues are not a big team. They're going to play some really big teams. And, you know, playoff hockey is physical, and we're not small, but we're not the biggest either.
And if you went back and looked at that Kings team, they were built for the playoffs.
Yeah, they were big boys.
You know, they were able, I mean.
And Jonathan Quick played.
Well, and that's the other thing. And you know, we've talked about that at times too. You know, Jake Allen has shown he can steal us. I mean, he basically stole us a series last year against Minnesota. That being said, it's a true team effort when you get in the playoffs. You need a lot of things to go. And, again,
it's hard to be physical every other night like that against a bigger team.
I just find it hard to not want them to be in. And I understand what you're saying. I get it. I'm not – and I know we're kind of having some fun with it. But I understand what you're saying. If you want change sometimes, you need things to –
not like, go
listen,
your way.
Listen, all things end badly or they wouldn't end, right? Okay? Seriously. So my point is –
it's terrible.
Well, to your point, though, really, what do? I mean, do you
– no.
And for that matter, we made one of our best runs in the playoffs in how long, and then we had all kinds of change. We just let Brouwer go and Backes go, and you know, and then we're told halfway three quarters of the way through the next season, well, we kind of looked at this as a rebuilding thing. It's like, wait a minute. Whoa, hang on a second here. So my point is I'm going to have to trust Jamie on this one, that they understand that there has to be change. Now, that being said, we've talked in depth on the show about it's not going to be that easy to have drastic change here. It's just not. I mean, it's going to require, let's face it, if you really look at it, it's going to require the Blues to eat some money here, which maybe, you know, maybe if they make the playoffs, they're in a better spot to eat some money.
Yeah, that's
so you have to look at it that way, too. I know the Bomeister thing is complicated because of his injury and the whole buyout thing. But at some juncture, if you were wanting to do something there or you were wanting to move a player and you need to eat some salary, whatever it is, they make the playoffs, that makes that a little more
swallowable. I'm happy for everyone who's affected by the playoffs. You know, like
sure.
All those blue-collar people out there working and who aren't on the ice and aren't professional athletes, they're all getting more money if the Blues make the playoffs and help their families. So, obviously, I'm rooting for that. But – I don't know, man. Where does drastic change come from? And if Jamie says it's in the pipeline, I got to trust him.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that you can feel good as a Blues fan, even though there are prospects. We sure look to have some strong prospects.
Yeah.
Where we go with those is anyone's guess. You look at some of the young players that have come. I mean, let's face it, Vince Dunn's been pretty good. You got to like Vince Dunn.
Man, yeah.
We didn't talk about it today, but, I mean – Joel Edmondson's turned into a really good defenseman. I mean, he's probably not going to be – you're not going to see him on the score sheet a lot, I don't think. You're not going to see him in a lot of highlight reels, but he may be that partner for Petrangelo, no doubt.
He's good.
You know, and again, I'm not going to – the one guy that I want more from is 55. I'm sorry. That's the guy I want. If we get more from him, I like our chances.
He's still trying to figure it out.
I know. I want more from him because I think he has more. But, again, it's no different than what we talked about 27 for all these years.
Yeah.
That being said, I think Soshnikov's been a great addition. Not a guy you're typically going to see on the score sheet, but I like the way he plays a game.
Yeah.
you know, you got something there. You're still got some guys in and out of the lineup, to your point, though, that you're sitting there, you know. I'm longing for the days that I never have to see Oscar Sundquist put a jersey on again. I've had enough of Dmitri Yask, and I know some people think he's playing better, but
he's okay. I mean, can tolerate him.
Look, Voter's got that look on his face like me. Like
I can tolerate him.
Okay. I mean,
I can tolerate him.
But I mean,
there's way bigger fish than that guy.
Oh, that's a whole nother show.
Yeah, that's enough.
That's a show for after the season, I guess.
Yeah, but I think going back to 55, I think he is going to be a big role for us in the future.
I mean, I hope so.
I was hoping it would be this year that he'd be more of an impact of a player, but trying to get his feet.
I'm on the fence. I think he's got world-class talent, like I say all the time, but I think he's got world-class talent. He can be a top defenseman in NHL. He definitely can be a one or two guy, but I think he's still trying to figure it out. And I think – I don't know if the Blues have put the reins on him a little or whatever, but he needs to be more aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, I think he still plays that steady defensive role instead of just the
– He's like Will Conley.
Yes, exactly. That was in my mind I was saying it.
Steady
Stellar D, Will Connolly. But I, you know, I've texted Gary and I when we're doing the game. A lot of times when he's on the ice and you rewind it, he puck watches a lot and leaves his back door open a lot and a lot of passing lanes.
He's got a problem that a lot of guys who are that size, they have the same issue. Because they're so big, they use their reach a lot instead of their feet. And so he gets extended with his arms out sometimes and then gets beat because you know what I'm saying.
Oh,
because
yeah,
his feet
absolutely
aren't moving.
I'd like him to use his body.
Right. I'd like to see his feet be more engaged in the play than the reach of his and the length of his stick. So.
And again,
I'd like to see him hit the net.
Yes.
Just like hit the net, man.
He's got a big shot that if it hits the net,
I sat down low one night and was lucky enough to be on the end where they shoot twice. There's no amount of money that would get me to stand in front of that. Now, I don't you could put me in a Kevlar, I don't care, a bomb suit, and I don't know if I'd stand in front. It's a rocket.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm going to tell you where it's never going to be, between the pipes. It's wide all the time.
Yeah, if he just get it on net, let the guys go for rebounds, I mean, he doesn't have to score on every shot.
Man.
Well, again,
it's a cannon.
It's talented, big, strong by all accounts.
And a great guy. Like, he's a great guy. Oh, he hangs out in the summer at Arlington National.
Yeah. Good dude. No doubt about it.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. Okay. So, that being said,
let's play the rookies. Let's make the playoffs and play the rookies.
You want to make the playoffs and play the rookies.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
All
right.
Bring them
all. Maybe we could do that.
Come on.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. I want to remind everybody to make sure you check us out. BluesNHLPodcast.com. Subscribe to the show there. Do your shopping through Amazon. We'd greatly appreciate it. You may be listening to the show there as well. If you are, that's completely fine. Check us out on social media. Happy to have you be a part of our conversations. On Twitter, you can find us at NHL Show. You can find us at STL Blues Podcast. Follow us on Twitter on the at STL Blues Podcast Twitter handle. If you're a Blues fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back. We want to know what you're thinking and want to jump into some of those conversations. Find us on Facebook. That's our big ass. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our Facebook page. You're not done. We're going to ask you to click invite your friends. Get in there, invite all your friends that are Blues fans to like our page as well. We'd like to get more people involved in the conversations. When it comes to Facebook, we want to thank our partners, no doubt about it. It starts with Mick Light and Art City Sports. They do such a great job promoting the show. Thank you, Mick, for everything you do for all sports here in St. Louis, even the amateur sports as well. Make sure you check out his wonderful Facebook page, 150,000 strong and growing every day. St. Louis Blues hockey memes, of course. Happy to have St. Louis Blues fans unite and everything STL Sports as part of our supporters. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. We highly encourage you to check out their pages as well. You can find us on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast. Follow us there as well. Happy to be a part of lineupmedia.fm, fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Home now of Yo Radio. Make sure you check it out. I'm sure you'll enjoy it as well.
Special thanks to Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, the producers, but do all the dirty work behind the scenes. Thank you guys for everything you do. Again, I want to thank InnovatedCompanies.com, all three arms underneath that umbrella, the electrical team, heating and cooling, and, of course, the construction team. Randy and Stephanie Green, tremendous family involved in the business, 35-plus years experience, fully bonded, licensed, and insured. Get Randy involved early in the process, folks. You won't be sorry. That's InnovatedCompanies.com. Of course, Adam Smokehouse for bringing us the Mineral Arena segment. My good friend Tommy Brown. Tommy Brown Tax Planning. You can find out more at TommyBrown-EA.com. Find out how you can use your money for your business in a more efficient manner. He's your guy, folks. I trust him with my own taxes. I wouldn't send you over there if I didn't. Does a tremendous job. We've had some people here in the office using Tommy now these days, and they rave about his business sense, his professionalism. Make sure you give him an opportunity for your business. That's TommyBrown-EA.com. Of course, NelsonLandServices.com, the wonderful Nelson family. Our good friend Jamie Rivers and his SynergyHockeySkills.com. And, of course, special thanks to my good friends from McKendree University Bearcats, Tommy Brown and Gary Henson, for joining me in studio to break down the Blues. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, we leave you with a Let's Go Blues.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.